our viewpoint, we look at things and we see failures in our life, or we see areas where we've come up short, and sometimes we blame that on God, but God's never come up short in our life. He's never failed us, and he's the only consistent thing that we're ever going to have in this life. So that's why it's so important for us to stay near and stay close to him. Church, if you go ahead and turn over to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and once you make it over there, we're going to start in verse 1. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 1. Before we get into the message, I'll tell you a quick story from the other day. So Kennedy, we were in the living room, and she was wanting to jump. Okay, she was wanting to see how high she could jump, basically. So she was telling me, Dad, hold out your hand, and I'll jump and hit my head on it. I was like, okay, that's fine. I guess we could do that for a little bit. So I was holding out my hand, and she wasn't quite making it to where it was at. So I lowered my hand down a little bit, and she was hitting it every time. But she didn't want that. She wanted me to raise my hand higher. What was she doing? She was trying to attain something in her life, okay? She was trying to set her goals higher. I had lowered it down a little bit to where she could make it, and she said, no, raise your hand higher, raise your hand higher. Why? Because she was trying to see what her potential was. She was trying to see, hey, can I really jump as high as I think I can in my mind? Can I really reach this goal that I've set for myself? And as a parent, that was kind of cool to see because I liked how she was setting higher expectations for herself. And church, sometimes I think in our lives, we put limits on what God can do with us. I think sometimes we put ourselves into this little box and we say, okay, this is what God can use my life for. This is what God can use our church for. And we put these parameters around what he can do. And he looks at us and he says, wow, that's not really a lot that I can do with what you're giving me. He looks at our lives and he says, I can do so much more if you're willing to just give me it all. I can do so much more with your church if you would just give me your church. I can do so much more with your heart and with your life if you would just be willing to turn that over to me. And we set these expectations and we don't want to jump any higher. We don't want to go out any further. We get kind of comfortable and we look and we say, you know what? I'm not sure how I feel about growing. I'm not sure how I feel about moving forward. I'm not sure how I feel about maybe setting more expectations or goals in my life. And we limit what God can do with us. So here we're going to look at a passage of scripture in Joshua chapter 14 and starting in verse 1. It says, and these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. And Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side, Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. And the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. So we see here that Caleb, they were handing out the inheritances, okay? They were giving out the inheritance to the people. And we see that Caleb wasn't satisfied with what was being handed out. And he didn't just want to settle with what they were giving. And the key thing that we're going to focus in on here is in verse 12, where he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." So Caleb here, he wanted Mount Hebron. That was what he wanted in his life. And he set his sights for something higher. He wasn't going to settle with what was just being given out right then and there. He knew that he could obtain more in his life. And he set in his mind right then, at 85 years old, he said, "Hey, I want that mountain." So church, what I want to talk to you about today is, I want that mountain. God has mountains in our life that he wants us to conquer. He has so many things in our lives that we can go out and do that we don't think we can accomplish. Sometimes I think about the disciples. They're probably my favorite group of people in the Bible. Because if you go through and read, so many times they doubted Jesus, right? They watched the miracles that he did, and they still sometimes doubted. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they said, "Lord, this is all we have." Not knowing that he was about to multiply all that in front of them. And sometimes we look at God and we say, "Lord, this is all we have. And I'm not sure what you can do with this." And what he's saying is, give that over to me, and I can do great things with it. I can take your church that you might think is small, or I can take your church that you might see shortcomings or whatever. I can take your church and turn it into something great. You just have to give it to me and then go conquer those mountains. I can take your life and you look at it and say, "Well, Lord, I'm not equipped to do this. I'm not equipped to do that." He says, forget all of that. Just give me your life and you can go conquer mountains. And we need to have this attitude that Caleb had. Caleb said, "You know what? I'm not going to settle for mediocrity. I want to go conquer that mountain. I'm going to set up goals in my life that I can go down and accomplish them. So that way I can go forward in my life and keep progressing." We shouldn't become apathetic in our Christianity and sit back and say, "Hey, I'm comfortable right where I'm at right now." We should be content, but we should never be comfortable. We should always be moving forwards. We should always be seeing, how can we progress? How can we become better? How can we reach more people? How can we become better Christians in our personal lives? And we should be striving for that. And we need to have this attitude that Caleb had. He said, "Hey, I want that mountain." The first thing that we see here is just this part of the introduction. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. If you go back and read, whenever Caleb and Joshua and them were going to go and take over the promised land, and there was 12 spies, they were the only 2 spies that came back and gave a good report. Everyone else said, "No, we can't do it. We're scared. They have giants. They have things there that we're not going to be able to defeat. And I don't think we should do anything." But Caleb and Joshua say, "You know what? The odds are stacked against us. We might get destroyed. But we know that with the power of God, we can do anything." He wholly followed God. So church, are we wholly following God with our lives? Are we wholly going after him? Are we wholly serving him as a church? Also, Caleb was a man of faith. Caleb knew that faith was going to play a big part in his life. And he had faith that God could give him what his desires were. He had faith that God could get him to that next step. He had faith that God could allow them to conquer the promised land. He had faith that God would give him Mount Hebron. So do we live a life of faith? Or does our faith lack? Do we know that God can use us for anything? Do we know that God can accomplish anything? Or do we doubt sometimes what he can do for us? Another thing that we see here, Caleb was optimistic, okay? Caleb had the right type of outlook on life. 85 years old, okay? Is anyone here 85? You don't have to raise your hand, but a couple teenagers. So Caleb was 85 years old, and he said, "I want that mountain. I want to go conquer that." That is crazy to think about. A little funny story real quick. My dad is 73, I think, 74. And up until a few years ago, he would always claim, "Adam, I could still beat you in a race." And I said, "Dad, no, you can't. You're 70 years old. I'm in my 20s. You're never going to beat me in a race. It's just not logical." And that was something we'd always joke around about. But Caleb was 85 years old, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to go conquer that mountain." No one is too old. No one is too young to accomplish what God has for them. No one is too old or too young to contribute to what God's plan is, and we have to remember and keep that in mind. Another thing that we see here about Caleb was he was persistent, and also he was a man of goals. Do we set goals in our life? Do we look at things and say, you know what, I want to be a better Christian. I want to read my Bible more. I want to pray more. I want to talk to X amount of people here this month about Christ. I want to help this many people this year. Do we set goals as a church? So we look at it and say, hey, I'd like to see my class grow by this much. I'd like to invite this many people to come to church with me. Do we set goals? Because what I found is that if we don't set goals, we're never going to reach any goals, right? Because there's nothing to reach. There's nothing to obtain. So we have to set personal goals. We have to set goals as a church. And we have to realize that if we do those things, God can give us those mountains. But we have to be willing to step out in faith and try to conquer those mountains, okay? So the first thing that we're going to look at here, the first point, is get a vision. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. So if we want to conquer the mountains in our life, church, the first thing that we're going to have to do is get a vision. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So let's focus in on the first part of that verse there. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What does that mean? That means that if we don't have a vision for our lives, if we don't have a vision for our church, if we don't have plans, if we don't make preparations, it says we're going to perish. It says we're going to fall to the wayside. Why is that? It goes back to what I said a few minutes ago about if we have no goals, we're just going to sit there in apathy. If we don't set any marks for ourselves to reach, we're going to sit there and just be content. And once we become content, we're not going to move forward. We're not going to progress. We're not going to keep pressing on. Why? Because we're perfectly fine where we're at. So as individuals, we have to establish a vision for ourselves in our Christian lives. We should be setting goals on becoming better Christians, better people, better friends, better relatives, better parents, whatever it is. We should be setting these goals in our lives. And then as a church, we should have a collective vision. We should all be looking forward. We should all be thinking, man, how can we reach more people? How can we grow our church? There's no reason why on a Sunday morning the church can't be filled. It can be. But it has to be a collective vision that we all have. It's a team game. It's not something that one person does. It doesn't fall just on Pastor Rick's shoulders. It doesn't fall just on my shoulders. It falls on all of our shoulders. As a church, God has commissioned us to build his church. He's commissioned us to go out and to reach other people. So what is your vision? Is your vision something that's inward? Is your vision just something that is going to benefit you? Or is it reaching out, helping others? Is your vision going out, ministering to other people? Is your vision something that is going to help benefit the church? Or is it just what can I get from this? And we have to be very careful, because if our vision is skewed, that's not a good thing. If my vision is bad, that's not going to be conducive to my life. And it's the same exact way in our Christian life. If we don't establish a vision for ourselves, we're not going to go anywhere. So let's make goals. Let's set goals. Let's establish a vision so that way we can conquer our mountains. The second thing that we're going to look at here is in James chapter 4. Let's go to James chapter 4. Just give me one second. James chapter 4, and then once you make it over there, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. James 4, verses 1 through 3. There we go. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. The second thing that we have to do if we want to conquer our mountains is we have to ask God to give us that mountain. And I love these verses right here. Focusing in on verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Church, do we ask God to give us those mountains in our lives? We've talked a lot about prayer here in the last month at church. Do we have a prayer life to where we know that we can go to God and say, hey, Lord, I got this thing that I want to conquer. Can you give me that? Do we have a prayer life to where we can approach him and say, Lord, I have some mountains in my life that I would like to be able to go and overtake. Can you help me to accomplish these goals? And the Bible says ye have not because ye ask not. So sometimes it's just as simple as asking the Lord. Sometimes it's just as simple as going to him in prayer, approaching him humbly, and asking him to help us accomplish our goals. But too many times I think that we try to do things on our own. Too many times I think that we try to accomplish things by ourselves. The other day I was putting together Kennedy's bed upstairs, right? And the instructions said, have two people do it. So at first I was like, I don't need that. I don't need anyone's help. I can build that bed myself. After about 10 minutes of fumbling around with the parts and stuff, I yelled from upstairs, Haley, can you please come hold this stuff for me? Because it was a bunch of pieces that you had to hold together and stuff like that. It was foolish on my part because I saw what the instructions told me. They said, ask for help. Get a second person. And I thought, no. I'm a man, okay? I'm 27. I'm strong. I can do this myself. I was wrong. And we have to remember that God says, hey, ask me for help. Ye have not because ye ask not. So he wants us to go to him in prayer and say, hey, Lord, I'd like to see this happen for my class at church. I'd like to see this happen for our church as a whole. I'd like to see you move in my life personally in these different ways. He wants us to approach him and ask for those things. But too often times we try to just manufacture it ourselves. We try to just do things on our own. And then whenever it fails, we say, well, I guess it's just not what God wanted. I guess he just didn't want to bless us in that area. But did we even go to him? Did we even ask him for these things? So we have to be very conscious about our prayer life and make sure that we're actually going to him in prayer. And then in verse 3, it says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So we have to make sure we're asking for the right things. Is God going to grant every single prayer that I pray? No, because he's not a genie. But if I ask him for things with the right heart, and he knows that it's what's best for my life, chances are he's going to grant that prayer. Chances are he's going to answer that prayer for me. So take those mountains that you have in your life to God. Take the goals that you have in your life that you want to see accomplished. Take them straight to him. Let's not start planning it out first. Let's not start working on it first. Take it straight to him and then start the work on it. Because he's the one that can deliver on our mountains. He's the one that can bring those things into our life and help us accomplish our goals. He doesn't want us just to go out and to accomplish it on our own. So the first thing that we see here is if we want to obtain our mountain, if we want that mountain, we have to get a vision. Secondly, we have to ask God to give us that mountain. Thirdly, let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And then we will read verse 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So the third thing that we're going to have to do is if we want to obtain that mountain, we're going to have to put all of our effort into getting that mountain. We're going to have to put all of our effort into conquering what that mountain is in our life. We see there it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So if I have a goal in my life, I'm going to have to give 100% effort in obtaining that goal. I can't just go to God in prayer and say, hey, Lord, I have this goal, and then we should give it to him first off, but then the action comes after that. It doesn't go the other way. I don't go put all the action into it and then ask him to come back and try to fix everything that I've done. I go to him first, and then secondly, I put all of my effort into seeing that goal through. I put all of my effort into trying to accomplish and overtake what that mountain is in my life. And being a church, we have to work as hard as we can. Whatever ministry we're a part of, we should be giving it 100% effort. We shouldn't look at it and say, well, this is just a volunteer thing, so I'm only going to give half effort. We're not working for each other. We're working for God. And he wants us to give 100% effort in our lives. And if we want to conquer those mountains, we have to be willing to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to try my hardest. I'm going to try my best to conquer the mountain. I'm going to try my best to press forward. I'm going to try my very best to do what I need to do in order to help myself be successful to overcome these things in my life. So we have to put all of our effort into fulfilling that goal. So let's think about our own lives. Do we try our hardest in everything that we do? I know that I'm guilty of it. I don't always try my hardest at things. Do we try our hardest in every ministry that we're a part of? Or do we look and say, well, these are just kids, so they're not going to notice if I didn't prepare? Do we try our hardest whenever we're here just at church worshiping God? Sometimes whenever we're worshiping, I think that we're singing to other people, but we're singing to the Lord. Do we look at it when we're sitting out in the crowd and saying, you know what, I'm not singing for other people. I'm not singing for the person next to me or the person in front of me or the person behind me. I'm singing to bring God honor and glory. Do we think about that? Whenever we're doing whatever it is in our lives, do we take the time to think that, hey, I need to give my best effort because I know God has plans for me. I know God wants me to conquer things in my life. I know that God has mountains that he wants me to scale. So am I giving all of my effort or am I not? And if we're not putting forth our effort, we're not going to climb that mountain. Imagine that I paid all this money to go and climb Mount Everest, okay? Let's say I paid $5,000 to go climb Mount Everest. And then whenever I got there, I look at the guide and I say, well, you're going to carry me up, right? He's going to start laughing. He's going to say, no, I'm not carrying you up that mountain. You paid all that money to come and climb it yourself. I'll be there to guide you. I'll be there to help you get up the mountain, but I'm not going to carry you. And sometimes we expect God to do all the work. Sometimes we look at it and we say, well, I prayed about it, so he's just going to take care of all of it, and that's it. Kind of like name it and claim it, okay? There's nothing wrong with praying for stuff, but we have to put some footwork into it. We have to put a little bit of action into it. We have to be willing to say, you know what, Lord, I know you're here with me. I know that you'll guide me up this mountain as I climb it, so let's go together. We can't be lazy in our Christianity. We have to be willing to press forward and conquer the mountains in our lives, okay? So the next thing we're going to look at here is let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And then once you make it over there, we will start in verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we see here that the next point is, let's see, this is number one, two, three, number four. We have to put on the whole armor of God. If we want to conquer those mountains in our lives, we're going to have to be prepared for what the enemy is going to do. Whenever Caleb told them, whenever he said, hey, I want that mountain. I want Mount Hebron. He knew what was up there, right? He knew that there were giants. He knew that there was going to be adversity. He knew that there was going to be a problem, that they didn't want him to take their land. But he was ready for what was going to happen. I'm sure that whenever he went and conquered that mountain, he didn't just walk up and say, hey, guys, I want your land. No, I mean, he knew it was going to be a fight. He knew that there was death potentially going to be involved. He knew that there was going to be a bunch of trouble when he got there. And as Christians, just like Pastor taught about the other day, we have to watch out for the devil because he's walking around as a roaring lion to seek who he may devour. He wants to destroy us. He wants to see us fall. He wants to see us go to the wayside. He doesn't want to see us come together as a church and worship. He doesn't want to see us to continue to progress. He wants to see bad things happen. And as Christians, we have to make sure that we're fully prepared as we go into battle. We have to make sure that every single day, whenever we go out of our house, we're going into a war zone. We're going into a spiritual battlefield, and we have to be prepared for for the fiery darts that the devil has for us. We have to be prepared for those things that are going to come into our lives. And if we're missing one of these pieces of armor, we're going to be in trouble, right? We're not going to go through every single piece right now, but you can go back to and read that. If we're missing some of this armor, we're going to be in big, big trouble. Why? Because if someone's in the military, if someone's a SWAT officer or something like that, they don't just go into the scene without a helmet on. They don't just go into the scene without a Kevlar jacket. They don't just run in even without shoes on. They have every single piece of their body protected. Why? Because they know that there's going to be trouble whenever they get into whatever the scene is. And in our lives, the devil is waiting to attack. He's waiting to destroy. Why? Because he doesn't want to see us conquer mountains. He doesn't want to see God use us in great and mighty ways. He doesn't want to see our church go forward. He's going to do everything he can to try and stop that. And we have to be prepared. We have to be equipped as believers to say, you know what? I know the devil could show up at any moment. I know that he could be waiting around any corner. So I'm going to keep myself always 100% prepared. They say, stay ready so you don't have to get ready, right? So if we stay ready for what the devil is going to try to do, we won't have to get ready. The devil comes into a situation, we don't say, oh, wait, let me get my armor, let me get this, let me get that. We're already prepared. We're already ready. And we have to make sure as individuals that we have on this armor. We have to make sure that we have the armor of God in our lives because it's there to protect us. Is there to keep us safe. It's not just this whole list of things that God gave us just because. It's something that's there to give us a whole bunch of safeguards. It's something that's there to keep us ready at all times because we know that the devil is out there waiting and watching, and he wants to destroy us. He would love nothing more than to see our church fall. He would love nothing more than to see people in our church go to the wayside, and we have to be so prepared and so cautious about what he's doing, okay? So the first thing that we see is if we want to conquer those mountains, we have to get a vision. We have to ask God to give us that mountain. We need to put all of our effort into fulfilling our goals. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And the fifth thing that we're going to look at here is we have to look out for giants on the way to the top. Like I mentioned a minute ago, he knew that the giants were up there, right? He knew that the giants had already inhabited the land. They had already owned Mount Hebron. And there were giants up there waiting for him. They were waiting for whatever was going to come their way. The giants were prepared. The giants knew that, hey, we're bigger, we're taller, we're stronger, we can handle these people. But with the power of God, he was able to overcome those giants. So the things that we have to do in our life is we have to look out for those giants. And here's some giants that we have to pay attention to. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And then we will start in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. So we see here that the church of Laodicea was being addressed, okay? And one of the giants that we have to be aware of is the giant of apathy. We see here that these people were lukewarm. They weren't cold. They weren't hot. They were right in the middle. And this is a huge giant that has overtaken churches across America, is this apathetic attitude of, well, I don't really care either way. I don't really care what happens. I'm just here to have a good time. I'm just here because I'm comfortable. I don't want to digress. I don't want to go back. But I also don't want to move forward either. And we get caught in this apathetic attitude. And this is the giant that we have to be so careful about, especially whenever we've been in church for a long time. It can become easy to say, you know what, I read my Bible every day. I pray. I might even teach Sunday school. I show up to church. But then we get caught in this robotic motion of religion, and the devil has us right where he wants us. Why? Because this giant of apathy has overtaken so many to where we just look at the church and we say, things are okay, so that's fine with me. And that's not how we should be acting. We should be trying to press forward. We should be looking at the mountains and saying, Lord, how can I conquer this mountain? I want to see these things happen in my church. Help us get to that point. But too many times we look back and we say, well, that might be difficult, so I'm going to pass. Or this might be a little bit of work, so I'm just going to sit on the sidelines for this one. And the giant of apathy can overtake us, and we have to be so cautious about that. Another giant that we have to deal with in our life is prayerlessness. Pastors taught a while back about praying and about living a meaningful prayer life. Do we pray to God? We talked about this earlier. Do we have a prayer life, or are we prayerless? Do we live a life of prayerlessness? And whenever we live that type of lifestyle and we're never going to God, how can we expect to conquer mountains if we never talk to him? How can we expect to conquer mountains if we never have a relationship with him? Another giant we have to look out for on the way to the top of the mountain is selfishness. Selfishness can creep into our lives at any point, especially sometimes in the church setting. Sometimes we look and we say, well, that person wasn't here, or I had to go fill in for this person, or I had to do this, or I had to do that. And selfishness can creep in to where we start to say, well, I'm just going to focus in on me. I'm not going to focus on anyone else. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to sit right in my spot. I'm not going to talk to anyone. I'm not going to integrate with anyone. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit there. And whenever we do that, the devil can use that spirit of selfishness to keep us from climbing that mountain. He can use that spirit of selfishness to keep us from accomplishing what our goals are. Another thing that we look at here, another giant that we have to contend with, is pride. Pride can also creep into our lives, and pride is something that is deadly. Pride is something that will cause us to fall to the wayside. We know there's so many scriptures about pride, and whenever pride comes into our life, it can be an evil and an ugly thing. Sometimes you look back and we say, hey, I'm better than that person because I don't do this. I'm better than them because I know their past. I'm better than them because whatever reasoning that we come up with. And whenever pride enters into our life, I think that's one of the quickest things that can destroy a person. Why? Because we think we're better than everyone. We think that we are the greatest. And look at Satan. The thing that kicked him out of heaven was his pride. Why? He wanted to be just like God. He thought he was an equal with him. He thought he could sit on his throne. And we know that wasn't the case. But pride can slip in to any of our lives at any moment. And we have to be so cautious to contend with that giant and not let it come in. Discouragement. Anyone ever get discouraged? We all do. Sometimes we look around and we say, man, I wish things were different. I taught like a month ago about revival and stuff and how sometimes it's easy to look at the past and we can become discouraged and say, wow, things used to be like this. This used to be like that. Well, whenever we get focused on that type of stuff and we become discouraged, it can weigh us down. It can become heavy on us. And if we're battling discouragement in our lives, we're not going to be able to properly take on those giants. We're not going to properly be able to go and conquer the mountains that God wants us to conquer. Why? Because we're too busy being focused on the past. We're too busy being focused on the mistakes we've made. We're too busy being focused on what things used to be like. And the devil can use that discouragement to keep us from pressing forward. Fear. I'm sure that Caleb maybe somewhere inside, maybe he had a little bit of fear about, man, what might happen? We know the disciples, they battled fear. We see throughout Scripture people battling fear. We all have to battle fear. Sometimes we look, and whenever we look at the unknown, that's one of the scariest things, right? Is whenever you look at it and you say, man, I don't know what God's going to use this situation for. But if we allow the fear to hold us back, if we allow the fear to keep us from accomplishing what God has for us, we're not going to go anywhere. And fear is something that holds so many people back. I think so many people could go out and be greater than what they were, but it was the fear of, well, maybe I'm going to be embarrassed. Or the fear of, what if I don't accomplish this? Or the fear of, what if I come up short? Or what if people think I'm a failure? All these different fears can creep into our lives, and they can keep us from accomplishing our goals. But God wants us to take those fears, put them aside, and say, you know what? Hey, if we do fail, get back up and try again. The Bible says, a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. If we fall down, keep going. If you fall down, keep going. If we don't maybe reach what our goal is, try again next time. But we shouldn't just sit back and allow the fear of what could happen hold us back from accomplishing what God's goals are for our life. And then unbelief. That was another thing we talked about earlier about the disciples. Unbelief can keep us from obtaining God's goals. Sometimes we look and we say, God can never fill this room. Pastor, do you know how many people could sit in here? About 1,000 people. That's a lot of people, right? And I think sometimes we hear that number and we say, there's no way. Well, you know what? If that's our attitude, we're right. This auditorium will never be filled if that is our mindset. But if we look at it and say, you know what? 1,000 people, that's a lot. But I know who can bring those people in. I know who can help us reach those people. I know who can help us obtain our goal and conquer that mountain. We have to go to him for that. Whenever we look at the numbers, we think, man, that's not obtainable. That's so many people, this and that. We can come up with every excuse in the book of why it couldn't happen. But I'm here to tell you that God can do that. No matter what it is in our life that we look at and we have unbelief and we say, well, God can't fix me, or God can't fix this or that, or whatever it is that we have this unbelief with, God can, and we have to let go of that unbelief and just trust in him. We have to just go to him in prayer. We have to go to him and just fully believe and say, you know what, God? I trust that you can do this. Something that I find funny is that when it comes to our salvation, we have no trouble putting our faith and trust in Christ to keep us out of hell, right? We don't doubt that we're going to heaven. We don't doubt that he's going to take us there. We don't doubt that we're not going to hell. But whenever it comes to the small things in life, we fret and we worry and we sit there and we think, how am I going to do this? How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to fix these situations? It's the small things that we look at and we act like God can't take care of it. If he can save our souls from hell, he can do anything in our lives. He can do anything in our churches. And he's more than willing. We just have to be willing to allow him to do that stuff. But like I said, if we have the spirit of unbelief, if we sit here and say, oh, he can't do that, he probably isn't. He wants us to change our mindset and say, hey, I want that mountain. I have these goals and I want to accomplish them, and I'm going to trust that he will get me there. And then the last thing here is our besetting sin. The devil, like I talked about earlier, one of the giants we're going to face is our besetting sin. The devil's always waiting to trip us up. He's always waiting to make us fall. He's always waiting. He knows that one thing that'll get us every single time. He knows that one thing that will get us to fall every time. And he's going to try to target us with that. So we have to be very cautious in our lives. We have to make sure that we're giving ourselves the right type of armor, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, and make sure that we have parameters all around us to make sure that he can't get in, to make sure that he's locked out, to make sure that he won't have a stronghold or an entrance into our lives, okay? So we see here, if we want to conquer those mountains, we have to get a vision. We have to ask God to give us that mountain. We have to put all of our effort into fulfilling the goal. We need to put on the whole armor of God, and we have to look out for giants on the way to the top. Okay? So here is the conclusion. So we see all those things. We see that Caleb told them, he said, hey, I want that mountain. I'm not going to settle for mediocrity. I'm not going to settle for just what you're giving me here. I want to go out, and I want to accomplish greater things. Even though I'm 85 years old, I want to go out, and I want to get what is mine. So I have a couple questions, okay? Do we have a scriptural vision? Is our vision based off of what God wants for us, or is our vision based off of what we want? Are we going to focus in on, hey, I'm going to let God use my life however he wants to use it, or do I have my own mindset in mind? Do I have my own vision in mind? Are we asking God for it? Are we going to him in prayer? Are we telling him, Lord, I want to see these things happen in my church. I want to see these things happen in my life. I want you to do great and powerful things here. Or are we just keeping it on the inside and trying to do it all on our own? Are we putting all of our effort into it? Are we trying our very best in our lives to reach those goals? Or have we become apathetic? Are we suited in God's armor? And then lastly, are we looking out for the giants? If we can try to focus in on those things, if we can try to make sure that we are honing in those areas of our lives, church, God can do anything that he wants with this church, with these people, with us. He can take us and do whatever he wants. We just have to be willing to allow him to do that. He's not probably going to take us kicking and screaming. He wants us to be willing to give our lives over to him and let him use us. Our church has an awesome location, right? We're right on the corner here, a busy intersection. Like I said earlier, there's no reason why the church can't be filled, but it's up to us to fill it. The other day, I was getting a haircut across the street, and I was talking to the barber, and this place is literally like right across the street. Okay, I'm talking to the barber, and he's asking me what I did for work or whatever, and I told him I'm a pastor at the church across the street. And guess what he said? There's a church over there? I said, wait, what? He said, there's a church over there? I said, yeah, it's like right across the street. The other day, Haley was doing something, and she was talking to a couple of ladies in the community, and they asked her what church she went to. And she told them, they said, there's a church over there? And she was like, yeah? Like, where is it? She said, right across from the Goldfish Swim School. Oh, yeah. They knew at that point when she said Goldfish Swim School, but they didn't know our church is over here. And sometimes I think we take it for granted that we have awesome location here. They say location, 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 right? We have a great property. We have a huge gym. We have a nice big auditorium. We have awesome music, sound set, all that stuff. God has given us so much stuff. Yet sometimes I think we just sit back and we rely on that, well, we're right here on the corner. People are going to just see us and walk in. No, they're not going to do that. We might get an occasional person that'll stroll on in, but if we want to see God do great things and not just okay things, we have to put forth the effort. We have to realize that, hey, he's given us a prime location. He's given us awesome facilities. He's given us amazing people. So let's go forward and move on and try to reach the goals that he has for us. Let's try to go out and do the things that he wants, because like I said, he can use this church to do great, mighty, awesome things for his glory, but it's going to be up to you and I. We can't just sit back and just think that people are going to flood into our church. We have to realize that it's going to take a bunch of effort on our part. But you know what, church? We can say, hey, I want that mountain. I have personal goals. I have goals for this church. I want that mountain. We should all have our own personal goals. We should all have our own goals for this church. And we should look at God and say, hey, Lord, I know it might be tough. I know it might be something that the odds maybe are stacked against us, whatever. But you know what? I want that mountain. So let's establish some mountains in our lives that we want to conquer, and then let's collectively go out as a church and conquer those mountains, okay? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I ask that you would just help us to think about these things. Help us to realize that there's no mountain in our life that we can't conquer. Help us to realize, Lord, that you want to give us those victories, but it's going to take a lot of effort on our parts. Help us just to think about these different points, Lord. And I ask that you would continue to bless our church. I thank you for the one that was baptized today, Lord. And I ask that you would just continue to give us the growth that we desire. Continue just to give us the blessings that we want. In your name I pray, amen. And with that, you're dismissed. Thank you.